This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, you can text the show 713-572-4610. That is the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Rockets, this is the most important game that this team will have played since the 2019 postseason, probably. I know they played in the COVID bubble in 2020, whatever. Like, this is the Golden State Warriors. You're the two seed. Like, the minimum that I think most Rocket fans want to see in the postseason is that if they're going to go down in the first round, that you're going down punching and swinging and knowing clearly what the things are you need to fix in the offseason, too. Like, I think clarity, coming out of the postseason with some clarity as to what the strategy should be is a big thing. It can't look like it did on Saturday, in my opinion, Seth. All the things that we've talked about with this team, say what you will about how inefficient they are offensively, how the operation in the half court looks so bad, how they, you know, we bring up, especially after the first couple games, first three games of this series, just how late they initiate offense in the half court. All these things, the one thing that you could always say about the Rockets is they are gritty defensively, they're gritty period, and you're not going to push them around, and they're not going to be timid. They will be swarmy at the very least, the Rockets will, if we can use a Texans
term. Yeah, they were just miserable in the paint. The Warriors are going to attack the backcourt, then, all right, get the easy buckets, and then they were just messing up easy buckets from Şengün to Jalen Green to Amen Thompson. It was just a mishmash of all the weaknesses of the Rockets team, as they're a poor shooting team. But even missing the point blank stuff.
Yeah, they were timid, man. Night. They were timid. When guys were ball handling, they were weak with the basketball, turning the ball over. And Alperen Şengün, man, I don't know what happened to him on Saturday. And it's been this way throughout this series. Is he's looked a little off offensively. He's passing up shots that he would normally take when he is shooting the ball in that sort of mid range set shot that he has.
Yeah,
he's short arming it. He's missing layups. He's 1 of 5 from the free throw line is something too, I think, with Şengün on Saturday. That is, I think, part and parcel of just what is with him. But I think the team as a whole, man, they kind of got pushed around by a team that was Steph Curry and a bunch of dudes, you know?
So this is the big, I mean, tonight is huge, not because it's impossible to come back from down 3-1. It's very, very hard.
Yeah.
But especially when you lose the home court advantage, if you lose tonight, you gotta take care of business tonight to mathematically, home court advantage wise, everything else, you just simply have to do this. And if they don't, it's going to be a tough road to hoe. And then we got to talk. They lose this game, then tomorrow morning we're talking about Kevin Durant a lot.
Yeah, probably. So. Well, yeah. Especially if they lose, it's going to be because of how it looks offensively with this team. So you're right. It's, you start to envision, you know, as they have a half court offense that just likes looks like 24 seconds to nowhere every time.
Yeah.
They're not great at running sets. They take a lot of contested shots. The guy who's supposed to be their point guard is only really engineering the offense half the time he's on the floor.
Yeah.
The rest of the time he's jacking up threes. Yeah, you sit and think a lot about what a guy who can get his own offense would look like on this team.
And by losing the home court advantage, obviously we still have more home games after this. What I mean is you lose the chance to have it start as a, like, if
you've got to win one in Golden State,
you tie it up tonight. Yeah. Then now you've got three games with two games at home.
Absolutely.
So it just, yeah, like, this is absolutely critical and crucial.
Yep.
The 3-1 is bad enough, but you've just got to go ahead and even it back up tonight.
Yep. So let's get that done. Here was Jalen Green. Do you think Draymond even gives a crap about Jalen Green with his version of trash talking after the game was over on Saturday. This is after a performance in which Jalen Green scored 9 points. He had this to say when he was asked about Draymond doing all the talking. The two of them got into a back and forth after the final buzzer on Saturday. Here was Jalen Green.
Yeah, it was just talking. You know, he can't really do much of anything else, so talking is his only way.
Burn. Burn, Draymond. Yeah.
You know what? I like it better than if he had said, like, oh, what are, you know, they're better than us, and they're just
you like that he punched back a little bit.
I feel like I feel like the problem is that when he punches back, he's doing it in the exact same tone of voice that he uses for every single thing.
You ever seen that Simpsons where Mr. Burns is warming up for a boxing match and he's just tapping Smithers or whoever it is, like, in their rib cage, and they're just standing there? That's Jalen Green talking trash right there.
Yeah, I wish Steven Adams had said it. Or, you know, if somebody, even if Fred VanVleet, despite the, you know, he would have said it after missing a shot, statistically likely, that it might have sounded better or felt better.
It was a huge missed opportunity. You know, I'm sitting here saying this is the biggest game tonight, back since they played Golden State in 2019. Similar to 2019, last night, or Saturday night, I should say, huge missed opportunity with a prominent member of the Golden State Warriors out injured. That 2019 series was the one where Kevin Durant tore his Achilles, and then the Rockets they're not able to close out Game 5 with no Durant out there. And then Game 6, they don't have Durant for the whole game. I wonder if Tillman, do we have the audio here for Tillman, Ben? Yeah, like, I wonder if Tillman was feeling similar, Tillman Fertitta, the owner of the team, if he was feeling similar after Saturday's game as he was following the Golden State series with no Kevin Durant, Achilles tear Kevin Durant, back 6 years ago.
Well, you know, I'm a fighter, and you know, that's my culture. And I think the longer that I own this team, they're going to pick up more of my culture is that we had them. We should have stepped on their throat the other night and cut their throat, okay? It's not let's make a few shots and win. It's step on their throat and let's take it back to Houston and end it in six. And we'll pick up a few Tillmanisms along the way in the next few years.
Okay. I kind of feel like that's how I felt after Saturday. No Jimmy Butler. Now, we're not for sure that Jimmy Butler plays tonight, but he didn't play on Saturday. And Steph getting 35 on you is not what killed you in that game. Buddy Hield and Gary Payton II combining for 33 points off the bench on very efficient shooting. Gary Payton II was 7 of 9 shooting, and Buddy Hield knocked down 5 3-pointers. That's what killed you in that game.
All those that is all true, and yet it was also it yielded 104 points. You know, like that's they're so decrepit in terms of shooting that they have to be absolutely perfect defensively. That's where everything falls apart for the Rockets is that, you should be able to win a few games every now and then when you got to score 104 points. But this Rockets team isn't that team. You're going to have nights where Buddy Hield goes off and where Steph Curry is going to be Steph Curry. I guess one hope, and this feels like a meager hope to have, but would be that Jimmy Butler comes back and he's fighting through an injury and he's in a lot of pain. And by virtue of him being out there, he's actually a minus for them. Mm-hmm. There can be an avenue where, man, all right, he's out there, but he's not himself, but they're playing. The Warriors are playing like Jimmy Butler is himself. And that throws enough of a wrench into it that you can hold him down to well below 100 again.
That might be the best version of Jimmy Butler to get is the I'm going to give it a go Jimmy Butler. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, all right, I'm going to give it a go and see how this goes. And and they're treating him like he's all-star Jimmy Butler.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll see.
They got to go on the attack. Look, they're in some respects a young team. They've got veteran experience and leadership, but the youth part of it and in game two, it's just classic NBA playoff series type of stuff. It swings wildly from game to game. You feel just incredibly depressed after every loss, and it seems like they could never win again. Look, in game two, they came back and looked like a much different version of themselves. In game one, the young guys like Jalen Green were adjusting to playing in the playoffs for the first time. In game three, they were adjusting to playing in, not just on the road in the playoffs, but at Golden State for the first time. So hopefully we see that same rebound that we saw in game two.
All right, text in 713-572-4610. Let's circle back to the Texans. Let's get to know the draft class here. Particularly the top three guys. Let's get to know the draft class. Let's get to D'Amico Ryan's thoughts on the prominent players taken in this draft, and one particular player had maybe the greatest phone call, the greatest phone call from the GM, from Nick Caserio. Three words, and he just kept saying them, this player, over and over and over again. This is some fantastic audio that we've got coming up for you, and we'll do that coming up next.